Good afternoon, Vernal City Council. We have a work session on our budget, and it is October or something, 17th, 2016. And who'd like to take this ball today?
Okay. So I've passed out a couple sheets. And those are the revenues. I don't know about you guys. Can everybody read them? Everybody has glasses, so that's good.
Rebecca will read it for us.
So basically, I think you've seen all these revenues before. I think there are a few changes for the estimate for 2016. We went down a little bit on sales tax. We've gone over those calculations, and I think it's a little bit less than what you've seen before.
Is this through December 31st? Is that what you're estimating
at
the end of year?
Yes, through December 31st.
Thank you.
Now, granted, a month from now, we might see something a little different, but it's not going to change that much.
Okay.
But
thank you.
We can look at it again in a month. So we have all the estimates for revenue, and I just noticed it's about, I would say, around $100,000 more than what the budget originally was. So it's fairly close. 2017, anybody have questions about the 2016 estimate? This is just the revenue part. It's always good when we have more money coming in than we thought.
Yeah, and there's always a guesstimate you can see under, this has to do with property tax, but on line 9 you see property tax new construction. It's always kind of a wild guess because all during the year new homes are built, new businesses are built, new properties go on to the tax rolls. But to the extent that you build a home in April, you don't get taxed on it until the next year. Now, I think is it June through June, May through May, April through April? Anyway, there's a cutoff point. So next year we'll get the property taxes, regular property taxes, and then we'll get new construction, that which was constructed like from April through April. And so you get the value of the new construction at last year's levy rate. So right now we've always kind of just estimated that as $50,000, and it's a guess. It's probably a conservative guess, but it's the other property tax numbers are fairly well known because we know what our tax assessed valuations are.
Quick question on page 2 under total revenues, line 72. It says remodel Second Avenue Fieldhouse for the restroom. Is that actually the cost of building the one?
We put, as you can see there, we had $46,000 in there. That was anticipated to cover the cost of remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, we've talked about tearing it down, and if doing anything, we would maybe bring in a modular unit. So we're not going to be spending the $46,000 this year. The only thing we're going to be doing is tearing it down, and that won't cost very much at all. We did have to have an asbestos survey done and a few other things, but for the most part, I think if our guys haven't already, they were looking forward to going down there with a rather large piece of equipment and knocking it over.
I was just wondering where the Star Park bathroom is.
So this $46,000 came from park mitigation. We're not going to spend it, but we wanted to put in something next year if we did want to continue that project forward. So the $40,000 is really just a placeholder, but if we truly wanted to do something on Star Park, that would probably come out of, it wouldn't come out of the general fund. It would actually be an expense of the Star Park fund, because that fund still exists. So not tonight, but future study sessions, when we get to the other funds of the city, Star Park Construction Fund will be one of those other funds. So we probably won't spend the $46,000. And will we spend 40 next year? I'm not sure. That's something we just wanted to put something in there in case there was a desire to move forward in some way with the field house.
But we have the 40 if we need it for something that had
exactly.
A higher
priority. And the way it's worked in the past is that we don't transfer the money in until we spend it. So even though you authorized $46,000, we didn't take $46,000 from park mitigation and transfer it into the general fund. We transfer the monies in as we need them. So to the extent that we might spend $2,000 or $4,000, the rest of that money would stay in the park mitigation fund, and it would be reflected in the ending fund balance of this year and the beginning fund balance of next year.
And so the Meadows, too, that's you're assuming build-out will be 2020 at this point?
Yeah, the Meadows, we've actually ratcheted it down. Yeah. We've talked to, if I can believe, I believe you already talked to the engineer who was working for the owner, and he was saying that they're hoping for, what, three a month?
Yeah.
Or something like three homes a month is what they have scheduled into their pro forma for lot sales, and so we're assuming that if they sell three a month, we might eventually get three a month of building permits. So that's why you see in 2016 it's actually zero, because there have been hardly any of them done this year. And so then we've laddered them out over the next 4 years. So 2020 is just a plug number for the difference between the first 3 years. So you see 147 in bold there. So that, again, that's, who knows? It depends on how fast people want to build homes, and you can never anticipate that correctly. So these numbers are a little less than what we had thrown out previously. So, again, I think just wanted to err on the side of being conservative.
When are they going to start the restroom remodel down at Pioneer Park?
I believe they've already ordered some of the goods, so I think as soon as they come in, they're going to be putting them in there. I'll check. I've not actually asked Bo about that in a while.
It's on a wish list for Christmas. For the Heritage Society, the Old Fashioned Christmas.
Yeah, I know that Bo said they will have it done by then.
Right.
So I don't think any of the things they're ordering are so unique that, you know, a lot of times, especially in today's manufacturing, a lot of times factories don't make things until there's orders. But this stuff is fairly generic, so I think there's not going to be much of a long lead time.
Thank you.
In fact, that was one of the discussions we have, that assuming that we do finish this bathroom remodel for the park itself, and it looks nice, then we're hoping that we wouldn't need to have the bathrooms in the community center open as much to extend their life.
Keep going. Thank you.
So for 2017, I think one of the main things to look at is the property taxes. And if you look on page 3 on the purple sheet, you'll see what 1% increase, and I think this is a little different from what you've seen before. I think last time it was 9,800 or something, so it's a little bit more than 1%. This is based on 1% from last year is what we had calculated and what we asked the state to give us property taxes. So the 10,398 is for 1%, which we will do this year. Mr. Young talked about last time that the IPD is lower than 1%, so we have to do two resolutions this year. And I think last year we did the exact same thing. So you'll be seeing that. And that extra to bring it up to 1% is for substantial need, and that can be anything. They've never challenged anybody on that. They just need it for operations.
Yeah, it's just a quirk in the law that when it's less than 1%, you have to do the second resolution. We've done it in the past. But this sheet here on that, it does show this is our old, if you will, bank capacity. This is none of this bank capacity is related to our annexation into the fire district.
Yeah, I think this sheet kind of has a, because we talk about the old way at 5.5, don't we? Percent or 6.5?
5.7.
Yeah. So this is just a hypothetical up to 10.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Sorry. Yeah.
Exactly. This is just saying. Yeah. if you take 1%, which we will, if you take 2%, if you take 3%, this is what the additional property tax would be. And then if you go across to the property at assessed value, so let's say for a $250,000 home, if you take 2%, it costs $4.35 extra for a year. That's it for a property owner.
And Council Circa mentioned that we'll take the 1%. That's the 1% if you decide to vote for
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
I realize that.
Right.
Greg, do you want to kind of go over the fire district thing with the possible money that we could get with the BP settlement?
Yeah.
For the other new people that might
right.
not have
yeah.
any idea what's going on there?
The good news is it appears that there was a settlement, and a little history on it. Out at Cherry Point, naturally, we have all the industries out there, and they add to their assets annually. They build new stuff. Well, when they do that, they also sometimes retire old assets. So even though they may add $50 million worth of improvements, they may take out of production a sizable amount of assets. So it's that net amount that you get. And there was some dispute over the last few years over not so much how much of the valuation of the new stuff they built, but the value of the stuff that they said they took out of production or retired as an asset. And what ended up happening is that because BP and the other folks out at Cherry Point were able to initially just say what they said they took out of operation, they ended up actually reducing the tax assessed valuation of the assets out at Cherry Point. So because the fire district levies a dollar amount, when the tax assessed valuation goes down and they want to levy the same or more, the tax rate goes up. So when Cherry Point's valuations go down, everyone else in the fire district's bills go up. It's not unlike what happens here in the city, but we in the city are just not subject to that wide variation and fluctuation and asset valuation that the fire district has because of the industrial users out at Cherry Point. So the fire district and others challenged the folks out at Cherry Point and said, wait a minute, there's no way that you retired as much assets as you say. There was a long process, and we've been told that
it's over your process.
Yeah, it's over your process. We've been told that the state and the industries have come to an agreement as to just how much their net gain of valuation is out there. And my understanding, talking with the fire chief, is that there's going to be a rebate given back to the fire district. Because of the way we used to pay for our fire service, we would pay an amount annually equal to our valuation and their levy rate. So because our valuation tended to go up and up and up steadily every year, in those years where the fire district's valuation went down and their tax rate went up, we had an accelerated tax rate combined with our increasing valuation. So that's why we were hit with 10 and 15 and even higher increases in our payments to the fire district. Now that this settlement has come around, what ends up happening is that, in essence, the fire district collected too much from individuals. Put another way, if the folks out at Cherry Point never quibbled over how much of their assets were either added or subtracted, the levy rate in the fire district would have been lower than it actually was. And so our bill would have been less than it actually was. So once the dollar amounts are known, what will end up happening is that the fire district will sit down and say, okay, we have $100,000, $200,000, I have no idea what the number is. We have this money. If we would have had that money back a year or two ago, we would have charged the city this much less. And so once they find out what that dollar amount is coming to the fire district, we'll go through the math exercise and say, okay, what should have been the city of Ferndale's bill under that scenario? And then the fire district will turn around and rebate us the amount that we get back. So it's kind of It's a chain of events that once the fire district knows, we'll know. Once they get the money, we'll get the money. The only other wrinkle is that, and I'll make up a number. Let's say that the fire district actually got $200,000 or $400,000 in a rebate. They then now have to, as going forward, they have to lower their tax rate such that when you add in the rebate along with the taxes for next year, it comes out even. They can't make money on this deal. No matter how it comes out, we will be entitled to a rebate from the fire district, but they have to get the money first before they give it to us. We don't know how much it is. Once we know how much it is, because I know the fire chief's been pestering the county and the state incessantly because he wants to plan for what they need to levy next year. Once we find out, we'll let you know. And the good thing is that it will be found money. It'll be money that we had not anticipated, money that's not in this budget. But it will be a one-time largesse to us, if you will.
You all can repeat that?
And where did that money originate and come from?
Well, for us,
yes.
Since we were unable to pass on any increases in our fire district contract to our taxpayers, we just levied our 1% property taxes. So to the extent that we thought that we would only pay, say, $100,000, and we had to pay them $130,000, we had to just find the money.
Okay, so technically it's ours. It didn't come from the property owners.
Exactly. Okay. We won't have to turn around and rebate to our taxpayers or adjust our rates in the future because what we paid to the fire district
was over and above.
Was inconsequential. It had no relationship to what we were able to charge people on their property taxes.
I just think we need to make that perfectly clear when the money starts flowing that it didn't come from you to begin with.
Yeah. So we can take it, we can bank it, we can put it in reserve, we can spend it on one-time thing, but it will be a one-time hit in a good sense for it. So once we know it, we'll let you know. But I still don't know when the
chief is hoping to have an answer by the next fire district meeting, which should be on the 10th, because they need to get their resolutions done and things so that they can put forth whatever their increase is going to be in their levy for next year. Which they're looking at right now, 1.55% increase is what they're going to be asking for on there. They have some bank capacity still, too. So they're hoping to get it done so they can get it approved at their next meeting. But worst case scenario is near the end of the month of November because it has to, supposedly has to be into the treasurer by then.
Yeah. So inspired by Councilman Olson's question, property owners outside the city limits, are they going to get a refund?
What they'll see is a lower tax rate in 17 than it would have been without the rebate.
Makes sense.
So at the end of the day, when you wash all those years together, they'll end up being the same. If you owned a home 2 years ago and you sold it, you're not going to get that money back. The people who now own your home is. So it's just another little nuance of They won't go down and chase down who owned the property back in the day. It would just cause too much trouble.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's enough to buy a bathroom or two. Thank you.
Yeah, who knows?
Councilmember Goodrich. Shall we continue with the purple sheet?
Sure. Okay, so any other questions on the property taxes?
I have a quick question. Yeah. Just to clarify, the 2016 property tax figures on page 3 is the combination on page 1 of lines 8 and 9?
Yes. Okay. So it is on the first page, Q8 and 9. So if you add those together, that is that number.
Good.
Any other questions? Property tax?
Oh, sorry, also on
property tax.
Okay. Then, on the last page, I just brought this forward. I think you guys have all seen it. And nothing has changed on it, but it's a solid waste revenue and all the transfers. Just to show you what
we have. Yeah, for solid waste, you know, we did hear that they increased the tipping fee, the amount per ton that the folks down in Slater are charged to the various garbage haulers. We've seen a slight increase in the monthly solid waste, but we haven't seen enough months under potentially an increase in tariff to then say that this is a steady progression and we should adjust our estimations of revenues going forward. You can see that 16 and 17, the rate's 13% this year, and next year goes to 13.5%. So that $100,000 increase from $1,725,000 to $1,825,000 is a combination of both a rate increase along with what we've seen as the natural growth of garbage. We Americans seem to throw a little bit more out every year.
Quick question. The retired officer who passed away, was he under the LEFT program?
No.
Just a little interesting thing on the LEFT. Fire district meeting, they have one person under the LEFT program, and they only budget $60,000 a year. For their one left person. And, you know, their thing is, well, he hasn't used that much, so...
You better hope he never needs dementia care.
Well, that's what they were looking at, because he just started in-home help, in-home care, but then he fired the people 2 days after they started, so... But then they said they have enough money in their funds that if it went over the $60,000 that they budget, then they can pull it out of their reserves. But
my greatest fear is our people all need dementia care all at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, there's one more item on page 2. I just wanted to mention at the very bottom, the last line says total available resources, and you can tell it's more than the total revenues. That includes beginning cash. So just so you know that if we go over that, then you're going into beginning cash. But that's why there is that extra. Okay.
Does that include, like, all the money we have, like, in CDs and all the other little places?
Right. So everything, the cash and investments.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, on the very first page of the Lavender, up at the very, very top, you see cash balance January 1st. And we had a touch over $2 million to start 2016. So those are, like you said, those are the idle funds that sit in CDs or bonds or whatever it might be.
Councilmember Olson.
Okay. Where did it go?
Are these two?
The transfer from local criminal justice funds.
Just one page, right?
Just one page.
Okay.
Went up $10,000 from last year. Now, that's a dedicated fund so that whatever's in there, they can take the whole thing for the year, right?
Exactly. That's for police equipment and things like that. Yeah.
So that's it increased.
Exactly. It increased. So, yeah, whatever it is, then we pull those monies in, and it goes towards the police budget.
And the other thing I see was... I don't know where it came from. Which is the interesting part, is page 3, about the middle, three police cars, 2015, 16, 17, and 18. I don't think we voted for that. And we don't,
I believe we did.
How do we vote on something that's in the future that's past the budget that we have?
Well, I think we said that we would take... the solid waste utility fund, because the chief came in with his schedule.
I remember
of
that.
The age and we talked about 100,000 miles to whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I thought we were going to look at each year, seeing what criteria met those.
We'll go back and check
because I don't recall it being you get three cars a year. you've got to reach the magic number, and then you get a replacement up to three.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, it was up to three. Okay. If you need them, you could have
We'll check on that. It could be that, that Mark simply put these monies in here as a placeholder, so we didn't start spending solid waste monies now and not have them available for
somehow
later.
Those things seem to take on a life.
They do. Own. They do. I'll check on that. And, yeah, okay.
We'll blame Mark. Good.
That's right.
Okay.
But the point you make is extremely appropriate, and that is we should not just say we're going to buy one or two or three or 20 vehicles on a prescribed basis. We should actually look annually to see what the age of the fleet is, what their repair history is, and so you make some prudent decisions rather than just saying, "Oh, it's a new year."
I'm not sure how I got more of these when I was talking, but
I think John needed to get some
I recall having. I mean, I was
yeah.
The same of that, thing, but I wanted to. So once we arrived on a mileage figure. That's what we agreed to, is
right.
If they hit this. Then
exactly, exactly. Yeah, so we'll, what we'll need to do is, as this year, as this budget session progresses, we'll need to, at some point, look at the fleet and decide for 2017, and probably only for 2017 with any certainty, how many police cars
I like the fact that there's a placeholder for it,
right.
But just... as long as it meets the criteria that we agreed
exactly.
to last year.
Exactly.
It'd be nice to know by mid-November, though.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note. I'll have the chief. I'll review the criteria and maybe have him update the fleet age and condition.
I have no doubt he's going to have three. Most of them are pretty high mileage.
Yeah. And that's the only... that's the hard part, is that you buy three at once, they all kind of get old all at once. And just, a lot of times it's nice to ladder it out so you don't end up with a lot of vehicles of the same age aging off of their schedule at the same time.
Well, that we got into that rut when Uncle Sam was writing the checks for us.
Exactly.
We did it to ourselves.
Okay. Thank you.
I like the colors, by the way.
Okay. Blue sheet. These are the expenditures. And so we have an estimate for 2016. And again, a month from now, those might change a little bit, but probably not too much. Down at the bottom, you'll see the fund balance in 2016, so row 128. And that is the beginning cash balance for 2017, which then you see on your purple sheet that I talked about, the total resources. It looks like for this year there is a deficit of $182,000. And again, that can change. For 2017, we are looking at a surplus on line 124 of $57,000. So this is after all revenues and expenditures. There is $57,544 left. And that would be for the decision cards, and that's basically what would be left.
Yeah.
This does include $100,000 put into reserve. And there is a financial policy on reserves, but we are ahead, actually. And if you look down at the bottom, there are target funds. On line 129, 10% of budgeted recurring revenues, and on 2016, we're at $664,000, which is 278% above what the financial policy is. So we're doing very well in that.
Yeah, so you can see on line 113, if you remember, we put $200,000 into reserves this year because we ended last year with a more cash than we thought we would. And so, again, on line 113, you can see in that bold the $100,000. That's in there, and it's in there kind of as a discussion item, if you will. If for reasons that you feel comfortable with, you don't think that we need to put any more into either our reserves or, for that matter, into the LEF 1 account, then that $100,000 would come out and we would have $157,000 to the good rather than $57,000 to the good. But we also wanted to not kind of have you feel like we've just had a lot of cash laying around, because it's always somewhat precious. The other thing that we'll probably need to talk about, and we will get into that when we talk about the decision cards, and Councilmember Watson brought this up, there are some fairly sizable equipment requests on the decision cards this year, to the extent that not all of those equipment purchases come out of the general fund. Some come out of water, sewer, storm. That's fine. But there are some purchases, the sweeper that comes out of the street fund, which is, of course, augmented by general fund. And there's some other park equipment that we wanted to buy over and above the police cars that kind of have a placeholder in the solid waste. To the extent that normally the way you would try to fund equipment purchases is through those internal rental rates. And when we had the economic downturn, we really dialed those back to the point where we've not been able to build up a big cash reserve in the equipment reserve fund that we would use to go buy sweepers or mowers or things like that. The other thing that we probably want to think about this year, and if we do it for budget, that's great, or if we roll that into 2017, that's fine also, we probably need to start picking up and increasing those charges that we charge the police, we charge parks, we charge, you know, public works for the use of their own vehicles, so we can start salting away some of this money, so when we come to you for equipment purchases, we don't have to borrow like we did last year. We actually have the money there for you to decide what the most important vehicle and equipment purchases are. So it's pretty easy to eat up a surplus when you think about astutely adding money to reserves or increasing your equipment rental rate so you have more money later. So it really is a balance, and this is what you're going to need to do, is a balance between saving for later, either through reserves or money in the equipment fund, or spending money today for things that you feel are important. Hopefully there can be kind of a blend, but what I don't want to do is get into the point where we have to have equipment, but we don't have any cash, or the economy turns down, we don't have any reserves. So that's part of our dilemma here, is how to balance what might be considered prudent financial policies with the needs of a growing city.
I have a question for one of you, city administrator, finance director. Does the line 113 impact line 124? Yeah. So the $200,000, so that $180,000 deficit is there in part because of our soccer estimate.
Right.
Thank you very much. Question? Councilmember Goodrich.
On vehicles, I know corporations, there's an advantage to leasing. Anything with the city, leasing a street sweeper versus buying a street sweeper?
Not really. The advantage to leasing is the tax advantages, and we don't pay taxes. So that's one of the issues. And it's leasing... If you're going to be rolling equipment over rather quickly, leasing isn't such a bad idea, but we tend to keep things 20 years. And so the idea of leasing something, you end up paying more over time. What's been your experience?
Yeah, I do have a decent number crunching on that. But
yeah.
You know what I've heard about just even vehicle cars, that if you keep them 10 years, then you're basically making money, and you're making money on it. But you have to keep your vehicle.
Yeah. We lease all of our copiers because we replace them every 2 or 3 years as this new generation. And so that makes sense because we don't want to invest in a hunk of machinery that in a few years is just going to be a hunk of big paperweight. So we lease all of our most all of our office equipment. But our vehicles, we found that because we do hold them for as long as we do, it's more prudent to actually purchase them.
And corporations are sometimes paying a 40% federal tax rate. Makes sense. Yeah, they can do that. Councilmember Watson.
I'm just wondering, for all the equipment you need to buy, it would help me if I knew how much water and sewer and stormwater can pay for these things and how much you're going to need from the general fund.
We're going to come back with sort of that list
we had
last week divided by general fund versus enterprise fund. Yeah. Let's kind of do it that way.
Because it kind of had the enterprise fund, but I wasn't sure, do you have enough in there to cover it completely?
Right.
That would help me.
Started working with Kevin on this, as you're aware. He's over in I think it's Wenatchee at a conference right now. So when he gets back, we're going to sit down and do those two things. One is break down the equipment purchases by fund so you can see how much of the sweeper is in what fund of that fund. And secondly, perhaps even more importantly, I've asked him to really think seriously about a prioritization. We're not going to spend $500,000 or $1 million on equipment. So what can we or what do we have to buy now? And if we do indeed increase our internal equipment rental rates and we start socking the money away, what can we wait a year or 2 years and start putting the money away for later and actually have most of the purchase price kind of in the bank? So yeah, we'll get you that because it is important. Some purchases are exclusively in the utilities, and to the extent that the water sewer can afford it,
buy it if we need it.
Exactly.
Councilmember Olson.
A couple of things. Your rates for vehicle replacement, that's going to be in their budget, and that's just going to jack up their budget, and we're just going to look at it and okay it anyway, right?
I want to oversimplify it, but it
seems like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's coming out of the same pocket.
It does come out of it, and it really goes to the philosophy of, do you pay as you go, we need a car, let's buy a car, or do you save your money, you put a dollar into the piggy bank every day, and in a few years you got enough money in there.
And I understand that, but looking at this, and I certainly hope we're going to get, I guess maybe it's coming, because we used to get, I'll pick police for one. We used to see everything that was in that budget instead of one line. So I'm assuming we're going to be getting that at some point.
Yeah.
Because this just oversimplifies things, and I had mentioned, and I see at least 2015, we'd have liked to see, personally, extra to see, because if you start looking at the difference between years, we have significant jumps in these budgets, and we have no idea why. Mm-hmm. So maybe we need to look at that and go back and say, this is a little bit too much in this area, because we don't get to see that with his like we have in prior years.
Yeah, no, we'll get that out to you. Yeah, the details. It is a lot of detail, and Chuck has been working on.
Okay.
But that's no problem. This is something, when you adopt the budget, it will be by fund.
Mm-hmm.
You can adopt it by line item, but that's not really efficient because we'd be in here for a budget amendment on, any line item goes over a dollar, we have to come back for a budget amendment. So we adopt by fund, but you can see all of this. We can get you all the detail of it.
That might be true, but I have a real, and this is nothing against you. It's the way things are allowed to be done in Washington, because I've checked. But, for example, if you have something in one fund and you don't spend it, you can take that money and put it into any other fund you want. And we don't have a say about it. And I don't like that. And I think we perhaps might have enough votes to change it to make a, whatever you want to call it, policy decision that this is what you have in this fund, and if you want to exceed that, you'll come to us and tell us why you need more money in that fund. Otherwise, for us to sit here and give out these figures when you can take willy-nilly and move it wherever you want, we're all wasting our time.
In the current expense, you can't really take it and put it into all different funds.
Well, I was wondering,
but you can. And the way I stumbled into this was, I don't know, it was on a piece of paper, I might even still have it, where it was something about the police budget and they're 2% under their budget. That's not the truth. I don't know who wrote that or said that, but that's incorrect, because we paid for 19 police officers here, and we haven't had 19 police officers for almost a year. So that money got taken out of that salary and spent on other things. And that's my example that I'm going to use, but that's why I'm going to propose that we change it to what I just explained. If this is what you have in this column, that's what you can spend. And if you want to underspend somewhere else, then you can come and tell us that you don't need this much, which we'll remember next year, and then you want to put it into another fund that you do need more in. I'm not looking for dollars, but when you have an entire salary for an officer disappear into other funds, that's not going to work.
I think maybe the fund might be a different, because current expense, yeah, within current expense, which is one fund, that's exactly true. So if police doesn't spend here, then, you know, council, executive, any of the other ones in here, it can move around. But this is one fund, current expense. So
what happened was it went from, and you can tell me which funds they're in, it went from a salary, which I think is current expense, for an officer, into vehicle repairs.
Yeah, I think
we're confusing funds and categories.
Right, I think it's the words.
The language.
You know, we have the current, but I get your point. The current expense fund, if you look for 2017, has $7.8 million worth of expenditures. That's the current expense fund. But if you look on here, when you look at, I'll pick one, when you look at the council has $63,000 in their department. So there's, a while ago I passed out this one sheet that showed all the departments within current expense. So there's a current expense fund, and then there's probably 15 departments within current expense, parks, police, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then within each department, there might be 10 to 40 line items where you have payroll, travel, training, equipment, utilities, the real nitty-gritty. And I think that's your point, is that within the police department, they underspent on payroll, so they were able to overspend, if you will, on some other line
supplies.
Within their supplies within their department. And I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. But if it's in the expenditures under the current expense, that's... Am I confusing something?
No. It really just depends on the detail level by which the council as a whole wants to manage the budget. Because by state law, we would only have to come to you for a budget amendment if in 2017 we want to spend more than $7,858,000, which means that we could overspend the entire police department budget if we underspent the parks budget and legislation, and if we didn't bust the fund. But you're talking about not starting at the fund level, not even drilling back to the department level, but you're talking about the individual line items within each department.
That's correct.
Right.
I guess, I mean, I agree at some point, because sometimes we'll raise taxes to hire somebody. And, you know, we're you know, biting the bullet. We're going to raise taxes to hire someone. Then if you don't hire the person, then, I mean, we've raised taxes to do something,
yes,
and it wasn't used for that.
Exactly. And we literally have the chief.
We just want to make sure.
The chief's very, very good at staying within his budget, his department budget. But between the line items, he'll come in and say, hey, we're not hiring an officer until August. Today's June. I won't bust my budget for the year, but there's this extra training I want to send someone to. Is that okay? And that's something just from an administration standpoint. We'll say, okay, that training makes sense. You're not going to overspend your entire department budget. But realize that next year, just because you overspent, say, your training budget, that is not going to increase your training budget. So there's some one-time, one-off kind of expenditures.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, though.
Right.
When we said we want 19, and we're paying for 19, we get 19.
Right.
You don't get to move that around. And we'll see if I have the votes, but that's what I'm talking about, is the line items.
Exactly, yeah. The
you're
individual
not moving
line
them around,
right,
unless you come and tell us why. We're not, probably might say yes, might say no.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we're wasting our time here by just giving you a blank check and say, here, you got this to spend, do whatever you want to.
Now, and I guess in defense of the police department, you know, they...
I'm not picking on them. This is just the example that I stumbled into.
Exactly.
I'm sure if I looked, there'd be a lot more. But that was something that I looked at, and by no means am I picking on the police department, because what he, it's not improper.
Mm-hmm.
It is within the rules of for the state, because I checked.
Yeah.
But I don't particularly care for that.
Yeah, and that was one of the hidden benefits of our economic slowdown, insofar as over the last 4, 5, 6 years, we've gone in and have really tried to scrub as much out of the budget so the training budgets are adequate but not excessive. And in the case of the police department, they've just been, and historically, they've been unable to find what they consider to be a qualified employee. So, and I know you're not picking on them exclusively, but traditionally what's happened is they delay their hires, and then you're right. They find something else to spend it, a one-time little money on, but yet they stay within their department budget. So we'll bring back the real detailed line item budget so you can. In fact, I actually, back here, back when I actually gave you this packet, I put in here all the line items. So when if you do have that information, if you want, you can go back and so in for current expense, I kind of, you can see all the breakdowns of all the various line items. And as you would expect, the more complicated police, they have a lot more line items because they break it out between patrol and all the anyway. It gets more complicated than it is.
Yes, but I wanted, and I mentioned it to you before, I wanted to see perhaps 14, 15, and 16, so we can see how much everything has gone up.
Yeah,
and see what's
and I think pattern. I think our software system has the ability. You can do some customized reports that we can give you on a detailed line item basis.
I mean, we already have it here.
Right. Well, this is actually, I think this is actually on an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So this is something we manually prepare. But I think in our software system, we can have it actually put together the report you're talking about without spending days
so
and days.
We can see trends. We don't need to see every trend, but if there's trends that are important, you could tell us. Like if you notice something is going, or even if something's going.
So I think Councilmember Taylor had her hand.
I was going to ask if, when you do the budget amendment, does it go through the Finance and Administration Committee, mm-hmm. and then to the Council?
Yeah.
And do you do it quarterly?
We've gotten to the point where we do it monthly.
Monthly, okay.
And predominantly for two reasons. One is we decide to do things during the year. And the other one is that we may want to do something, but we don't know the dollar amount. Say the bathrooms. Right now we know we want to do the bathrooms, but we don't know exactly the cost of those. So when we arrive at those costs, we'll then insert those into the budget. So the budget amendments are for those things that either weren't known before, brand new, we never thought we'd buy a bathroom, or we knew we wanted to buy a bathroom, but we didn't know how much.
Councilmember Watson, then Councilmember Goodrich, then Councilmember Lazar.
I'm assuming detention, line 100 in the blue, is that the jail costs? Just says detention. Is that jail, line 100?
Takes a long time.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because we're showing it going up like 8%. Every year, is it based on, because I thought we were sending less people because it was getting more expensive and we didn't want to send anybody off to Yakima. So are we really expecting it to grow at 8% every year?
Well, each year the county sets their per diem, what it costs per, it's like, you know, at a hotel, what's it cost you for the night, and their booking fees. And those fees tend to escalate over time. And so I think this is just us trying to be careful. But the recent experience of trying to put less people in jail is kind of a recent phenomenon. Over the years, with Ferndale being a growing city, we have traditionally hired younger officers, and younger officers tend to want to be policemen, and they tend to arrest people.
They get tired of the paperwork at some point.
No. Perhaps on a computer. Yeah. So this is a reflection of growing our police force, so we literally have more people out there to arrest people, an increase in the jail rates. But as the chief has told me all along, everything in the criminal justice system is discretionary. A cop has discretion whether to pull you over. They have discretion whether to give you a ticket. The judge has discretion whether he's going to lower the ticket. The judge has discretion as to how long he's going to put you in jail. The jail has discretion about whether they're going to release you early. So all the way, there's humans, making these decisions. And so it's hard to say that we arrested this many people this year, we're going to arrest that many people next year. It is kind of science. There's not. No. The voice of experience.
8% every year just gets, it's a painful concept if it's really going to be that. I mean, assuming we don't even buy a new jail, who knows what that would cost. So.
Yeah. Well,
there's a growing population, too.
Growing city population, yeah. All those things factor into it. Might the number, and we'll probably need to look back as we get closer to the end of this year to see what our jail costs have been. We might be able to sharpen our pencil a little bit. But the good thing is, and it's not a good thing, but this is an expense. So if we don't spend it, yay for us, rather than a revenue that we don't get.
And one can make the case, Ferndale is growing in multifamily. Multifamily typically is lower income, and crime is generally associated more with lower income. So something to think about, too. Councilmember Goodrich is next, and then Councilmember Sarr.
Well, we're talking about equipment. I know we mentioned with Bo or something that possibly buying some stuff this year. Are we too late to do that? In other words, say you wanted a new lawnmower. Hmm. Okay, the lawnmower costs $10,000.
Right.
Well, we have an extra $10,000. We could buy it this year instead of budgeting.
Sure.
You know, a decision card. Are we too late to do that?
No.
Or when is the kind of, we get to that cutoff when we say, well, we can't do it this year. It really has to go to next year.
It really depends on what we're buying. For the big stuff, the dump trucks and what have you, the Vactor trucks, we buy those normally off of state surplus. And the state has to take the orders in by a certain. But things like mowers and smaller pieces of equipment, you can buy them all year long. With that said, we also, this year, bought some dump trucks, but we bought some real good used units from the county rather than some brand new units. So we were able to spend less, so we might actually have some money left over just for cost savings. Yeah, I saw the invoice. They came in, I think, last week or what have you.
Is the local money all gone?
So,
no, I don't think it's all gone. And that's another thing we're going to sit down with Kevin and Bo and say, not only do you need to prioritize your list for next year, but let's update the list that we were talking about this time last year to see what we bought, how much it was, and whether we have any of the local money.
So we have Councilmember Rosara, and I think we might have time for a break. Unless yours is really, really quick.
Okay. So I just have a question, and maybe it's something that I missed from before. So the end of last year, there was surplus of over 400, which is why we put the 200 in reserve funds. Mm-hmm. And yet we're going to end this year negative almost 200. So was there a revenue source that fell short from what we expected, or was there an extra expense that ate up?
The Meadows?
Didn't come in as we...
I think
it hasn't come in as strong, but yet we had other commercial development that kind of replaced it. But I'd say it's probably a combination of factors, because I can't really think of any particular revenue source outside of maybe, you know, single-family residential, that is well below what we thought it was going to be. Property tax is pretty good. Sales tax is pretty good. All those other things. So, yeah, I think it's just a question of when it comes to these private developments, you have to make a guess as to how many homes, how many lots they're going to sell, and then once they sell the lots, how many homes they're going to build. Sometimes these... contractors buy 10 lots, but they may only develop 3 or 4 right away.
But the shortfall is driven by this year setting that money away in reserves. So if you didn't,
but we did that because there was surplus.
From the previous year.
Yeah. So exactly. I'm just wondering why that were negative now if there was that surplus. Where did the whole surplus?
The surplus rolled into the beginning cash balance.
Right.
So the surplus from 2015... is not reflected in 2016 because the beginning fund balance was simply more than what.
So there's your big surplus in 2015.
Right. We took it was the Meadows. There was online on your revenues, the purple sheet.
Okay.
On line 18, Q18 is now zero. That's where there was quite a bit of money, and I couldn't tell you what the amount is, but I want to say it was more than 100.
Thank you.
Yeah, and in fact, on the lavender sheets up at the very top under line 7, actually line 6 for beginning cash balance, you can see that we began 2015 with a little over $1.5 million, but we began 2016 with a little over $2 million. So between 2015 and 2016, we added $400,000 or more.
Trish, can you go quickly?
To our cash on hand.
I was just going to ask, so we have some surpluses in certain charge lines, and, you know, like Chief Knapp came in with some decision cards that he needed, like a speedometer thing. So if he hasn't hired 19 police officers and he has a surplus in his budget, his charge line, he could roll the money over and purchase that equipment, couldn't he? Like right now, before the year ends?
Technically, yes.
But he hired somebody, so there you go.
But he hired somebody and
so,
he, and
council, it's been a good discussion. Are we having a work session again at 5 o'clock next meeting here? I believe so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll let you know. We'll take a break. Mm-hmm.